Merry Christmas. God's grace and his love be with you today from Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, the King of creation. Amen. Well, I'd like to start out today with a few memories of Christmas. What kind of things do you remember from the days when you were young? Or not to say that you're old. When you were younger. What kinds of things do you remember about Christmas? To me, I think they're going to be charged with a lot of images of family. When I was younger, I remember one of the best things I remember about growing up in Connecticut and Christmas time is I love the winter. I know a lot of you like the warmth down here, but I love the frosty woods and the crisp night air and the stars coming out above the bare limbs of the trees of the maples and the oaks of the evergreens. And my family and I drive to Christmas Eve service at church. I remember going through the back roads of Connecticut to get there and looking down through the frosty woods and seeing houses lit up with the lights of Christmas trees like lighthouses and sentinels here and there through the dark woods. And it was just so supernaturally inspiring and beautiful at that time of year. But we went to church as a family and we laid out presents together as a family. We opened presents together as a family. I remember one of our Christmas traditions was my dad would always read to us, 'twas the night before Christmas. But one year he kind of messed it up a little bit, and then ever afterwards he'd continue to mess it up on purpose, and the family get all kinds of giggles, because my dad was a guy of a lot of etiquette and proper manners, and so when he messed these things up, it was really funny, such as he'd read, "When out on the roof there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutter, and threw up on the sash." Threw up the sash, and he'd always correct himself very quickly. And he had several parts of that poem when he'd do that. But Christmas is a time for family, and there's so many images of family that are wrapped into it, either good or bad. The warmth of closeness with your family, or maybe the painful cold of distance for many. Christmas can be the best of times or the worst of times for a lot of people because it is so charged with family. But today I'd like to talk with you about what God has done for our families and to give us a new family in him, in Jesus Christ through the birth of his son. As God's done something at Christmas, not by the season, but by the birth of his son, to give us great hope of a place to belong. And where all the fulfillment of the needs that we have for family might be fulfilled in him and through him and to bless us in our lives. And so let's take a look at family today and what's God done to assure you, to bless you with family at Christmas. Well, first of all, let's understand that God designed us for family. Do you know that? We can look there at the very beginning, at the very start. Let's take a look at the very beginning of human beings. Here in Genesis 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea," etc. What do you get by that verse? Let us make man in our image. Isn't that strange that God would use that language? I believe, personally, that's speaking of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And think of the words of the Holy Spirit, if you will, the three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What is that? That's a heavenly, perfect family in the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so when it says, let us make man in our image, we are born out of the holy and living God. We are born out of the heavenly family of the one God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Think about that. That we're born out of family, perfect, of perfect love between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we come from family, okay? And then also the next verse. Why did I close my Bible? I'm just going to be reading it. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." What do we get by that verse? We get that when God created us, he created us not just a single person, not just Adam as if he could live off by himself and he could be a single solitary creature. He created two, the man and the woman. In fact, in Genesis 2, we see When God created man, he said, it's not good. First time in creation, something's not good. It's not the good that he's alone. I'll make a helper fit for him. Finally, when Eve shows up, and whoa, man. You know, he says, this at last is flesh of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Therefore, the man leaves his father and his mother and joins to his wife, and the two become one. Do you see how at the very beginning, God designed us and crafted us to be in family and community? We see that even more in the next verse here, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, etc. So what's that say? The very first command God ever gave to humankind was about sex, actually. Making love, husband and wife coming together to what? Make children, to make a family. Do you think family might be a little bit important to God? This is the very origin of the human creation by God. We come out of the family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, made for husband and wife, made to bear children, made to be families. And that is so into our creation and design, it's just amazing. What's this teach us then? It teaches this, that modern day people haven't got a clue about what's right and wrong. They've got a wrong sense of family. Guess what? God created a man and a woman to make children, not man and man or woman and woman or several men and several women or all that kind of thing, but one man, one woman equals children equals one family. And also, we've got this whole idea in our culture that if you're going to be strong and you're going to be cool, you can be that master vigilante hero living on the fringes of society all by yourself, dependent on nobody. You don't need any friends. You just live out there and you come in and help people, but you don't have anybody to rely on. I'll tell you what, if you ever want to try that in real life, I'll guarantee you're going to end up miserable. You're going to end up just discouraged, and you're going to die young and early because we are designed for family. It's the devil's work to isolate people and divide and destroy families. Do you see how he's doing that in our culture today? You see this even in creation, don't you, amongst the animals? I'm amazed sometimes when I go out and sail on the river and I see the roseate spoonbills all flock together and the blue jays flock together. How do they know that? Did anybody get up and look in the mirror and say, I wonder which species I am? They all know their own family and they hang out together. The blue jays are the blue jays, the sparrows are the sparrows. The bees have their hives, the wolves have their packs, the elephants have their herds, and the dolphins have their pods. Do you see how family is written even into the animal kingdom so strongly? And if you want to see a real demonstration of family, just try getting between a mother grizzly bear and her cub, and you'll see what family means even in the animal kingdom. And if that's how God's designed the world, and so for the animal kingdom, how much more for us that you and I are designed to belong to family, and without it, you're toast. You're going to be in big trouble. And so what do we learn next is that though God's design is for us to live in a loving family, guess what? We've fallen short of that. You can see that in our lives and in the world. We see that in the Bible here. Our relationship with God first was cut off. Remember when they ate of the fruit? They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And God said, where are you, Adam? And he said, I was afraid. I heard you walking. I hid myself for I was naked. So what is that? Break up of what? Family relationship with God as Father. They were rebellious children. The family was broken. Uh-oh. Then we get that same breakup in the human relationships. As soon as they ate of the fruit, what happened? Their eyes were opened, and they saw that they were naked. They covered themselves and hid from each other. Uh-oh. Man and woman are now distant and cold and separated from each other. They're hiding. That's what sin does. It breaks up the home as well. And homes have been broken ever since, right? You ever think of the good old days? Like, boy, man, if we just lived in the old days, like Mayberry. or the Brady Bunch or something. Well, they weren't so great either. Think about Abraham in the Bible. Was he a perfect family guy? We can get over here to Genesis chapter 21. Let's see what his life was like. He had, remember, Sarah and Isaac, but then he also had Hagar, another wife, a concubine, and Ishmael. And the child grew and was weaned, Isaac did, and Abraham made a great feast on the day Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw that the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac." And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. It was Abraham just having a great old-fashioned time. He was a mess in that situation. He was very distraught, for he had two wives, two sons, and rivalry. It was not pretty. How about in Jacob's days? Jacob had four wives, two of which were sisters. Anybody want to try that out there? I don't think so. Check this out. In Genesis 30, one day, Reuben, their son, went out and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother, Leah. Rachel wanted some mandrakes. "Give me some of your mandrakes." And Leah said, "Is it a small matter that you've taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" And then Rachel said, "That he may lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes." In other words, "Give me the mandrakes and I'll let my husband lie with you, who's also our husband." Ish. Does that sound like Brady Bunch to you? Is the family broken ever since? There was jealousy and intrigue and hatred and murder, even amongst the sons who sold Joseph into Egypt. Hannah was the greatest of women. She had Samuel the prophet, and yet she was one of two wives, and there was rivalry between them. And you want to get to David and his family? What a mess! David committed adultery. Absalom, his son, tried to take over the kingdom and kill him. Amnon, his son, slept with Tamar, his sister. Ugh! That was not the Brady Bunch. And besides, let me just tell you, the Brady Bunch had their problems too. They weren't so great. And we see that breakup of family in our days as well. At least in the old days, though dysfunctional, at least we had a father and a mother and children all in one house. And the young looked to the elderly and the children respected their father. The mother kept the home, etc. But today, what do we have? Division and breaking up. 71% of the children in Cape Canaveral are living in single-parent homes. And of those that are not single-parent, how many have their true father? So what a pain it is to us when our families don't work right, right? Is there anything in life that harms you more and puts a dagger into your heart than when family relationships are at odds with each other? And you heard of that Christmas song, "Up on the Housetop," right? Well, the Bible says it's better to live in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. It's in the Bible, okay? And our homes, though better perhaps than I've been describing, are not free of the devastations of sin. Perhaps some of you have had children, have been divorced, or there's been strife and trouble. And I share my family and the Connecticut woods and those beautiful memories, but we had our dysfunctions too. And I'll tell you something, it's only in the Christian home, in the Christian marriage, where there is some glint and shine of the former original glory of the family to which we were designed, that shines there in love and grace. And we'll talk more about that in a second. But now, what about Christmas? What's God done to help us and bless us in family and in our needs for it? Well, guess what? He's our loving Father, and he sent his loving Son out of the perfect family in heaven to save us. And do you know how he saved us? He sent Jesus into a, guess what, human family. Think about that. He could have just come down all on his own, but he was born into a family because I think he's intending to save not just individuals, but families as well. We read here in Luke chapter 1, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." God is in the business of reversing back to the truth the entire destruction of sin, and he starts that in the womb of a virgin, and not just a single girl and a single mother, but one betrothed to a man, to Joseph. Do you see how God is working in families? And he's going to go out there and redeem families and bless you as well in these things. What a great word. And look at this. God says, what's he done for us? Christ came not only to forgive our sins, but to give us a new family. His mother and his brothers came. They were standing outside one day, and they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting by saying, your mother and your brothers are outside calling for you. He replied, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking around at those who sat about him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my God is my brother and sister and mother. Is there a new family that God's working? Yes. God, Jesus says he's working a new family. Those who do the will of God, namely love one another. And God becomes our Father through adoption, through sending his Son Jesus Christ into the world. We read in Galatians, so with us, when we were children, we were slaves to the elemental spirits of the universe. But when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. Say, adoption as sons. You know, God is making you his own children. When you were broken off from him, he says, I'm going to draw you into my family, and I'm going to love you. And because you're a son, says the scripture, God now sends the spirit of his son into your hearts that you might cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, to the Father. So through God, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. This is what God's done for us at Christmas, sending his own son that you might become his children once again, and loved and accepted, and have a house and have a home and have a place to belong and a new family. And hence, when we're in the family of God, what do we get with that? We get the care of God and of Jesus for each member of his family. I read this last night, Deuteronomy 33. There is none like God, O Jeshurun, who rides through the heavens to your help, and his majesty through the skies. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Do you look at your life like that? That underneath you are the everlasting arms of God? Whether you fail or you succeed, he's there to catch you, to bear you up, to make you ride upon the heights of the earth. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your triumph. Your enemies shall come fawning to you, and you shall tread upon your high places. And Jesus says, no one has left house or home or brothers or sisters or mothers, etc., or land, who will, for the gospel and for my sake, who will not receive 100-fold more. Now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers and children with lands and persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Have you left all for Jesus? Have you believed in him as your Lord and Savior? Have you? Then I'm your brother. I believe in that too. And you're my sisters, and you're my brothers, and you have a new family, and you have in the age to come, eternal life. Guess what we're called in the family of God. Jesus is the head of the church. He's our brother. Can you believe this? That God, who created you, wants you to call him brother and not just king, but brother. What an intimate word. And he wants you to call the Heavenly Father, Father. That's beautiful. And the Spirit is the friend who comes alongside of you. And we all call each other brother and sister in the family of God. And then guess what? He starts to redeem our human families as well when he gets into them. For in the Bible, many people, many families all together were saved when one came to Christ. And so it happens today. One might come to Christ, or maybe two in a family or three, and it spreads perhaps even to the whole family. If not, even then, just a husband who believes can sanctify his wife, says 1 Corinthians 7, or a wife or husband, but the whole family is getting redeemed. Where there's strife and pain and division and sorrow and breaking of hearts and distance, God works into the heart of a Christian a new heart. And all of a sudden, what comes into the family? Grace for the first time, forgiveness, love, patience, kindness, gentleness. And I can bear witness about my own family. Of course, we've always had Christ at our center with Beth, Naomi, and me, but we've been growing over time. And early on, Beth and I did have some spats where we had some divisions and some passive-aggressive words. But you know what? When we prayed and Christ is at the center and he rules in our family and our hearts, it just shines brighter and brighter until a full day. And he's blessing and working in our families. Every night, when we go to bed, Beth and Naomi and I say a prayer at night. And we forgive each other our sins. Beth, would you forgive me my sins? Yes. She asked me, would you forgive me? Yes, I do. Naomi, Beth, yes. Greg, all of us, we forgive each other. You know, that only happens in Christian homes. But Christ is in the business of blessing your families so you can live and be filled, because without a family, you will not be filled. Think about the animals in the kingdom. When they're in cages, they don't last long. They live half their lives because they're cut off from freedom and they're cut off from families. But when you put them into families, they live and they're fulfilled. How much more with us? And this was what Christ has come to give us. To be our brother, to give God to us as our Father, to give each other as brothers and sisters, and to renew you in love and in a sense of belonging so that you're never alone the rest of your life, that you have a people to belong to, that you're never going to be cast off, that you have an identity, and that we're to get to heaven not just as individuals, although God saves individuals, but to get to heaven helping each other, lifting each other up. When you have a weakness, your brother or your sister's there to raise up your brother or sister, to raise you up and you to raise them up. And that's what it is in the family of God. And so Christmas, friends, God is in the business of giving you what you need and renewing your family into a new family where the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, your friend, love you and are in you, and then that you can be in and with each other, shining brighter and brighter till a full day. And so today, may God bless your families with Jesus Christ and his grace, even as we rejoice in our greater family of God, the church. For Christ was born of Mary and gathered all above, while mortals sleep and angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. Amen.